You're listening to a podcast from Mosaic Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more audio and video content, visit us at mosaicchurch.tv. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the message.
Woo! All right. Can you guys hear me? Hey, man, that was quite a welcome. Did you guys do that just because he said to? Hey, no, it is such an honor to be here and to be able to just talk about the one I love the most, and that's not my wife, although on earth, I love her the most. And she's sitting right here, and she is this smoking hot lady right on the front row. Got two of our four daughters are also here. So what's up, Allie? What's up, Caroline? And Ella and Kate are somewhere in the building. So we have four daughters. Again, my name is Brandon Berry. I'm one of the pastors here, and it's such an honor to be on staff and to be with you guys this morning. As you guys know, or may or may not know, especially if it's your first time, my roles have been shifting a little bit. So I'm going to actually tell you a little bit about where I'm kind of headed. I have been the next generation pastor overseeing kids all the way through college, which has been awesome. And now I just really believe the best is yet to come in both of those areas. With Sabrina taking the helm as the MKids director, she's been doing an awesome job. Can we get up for Sabrina? And Vinny Candelore has been taken underground, and it has been awesome. And I'm just excited about what God is doing in our life. It's a new season, right? Speaking of new seasons, how are you guys adjusting to getting back into the rhythm of the fall? All right, we got any parents? Kids went back to school? All right, how you handling things? All right, you doing okay? You a little sleep deprived? I don't know what y'all's rhythm is, but at our house, we have one has to wake up at 6:15 to be on the bus by 6:45. The next one has to wake up at 7:15 to be on the bus at 7:45. The next one has to wake up at 8:15 to be on the bus at 8:45. And the other one has to be at preschool by 9 o'clock. So it's a new rhythm, all right? And new rhythms and new seasons can kind of exhaust us and can kind of have us a little bit out of sorts. But new rhythms are also exciting, okay? And are any of you guys, you excited about football season being here? I'm telling you, I love that. Not sure if you know, I played football all the way up through college, and we love catching a Panthers game or a Clemson Tiger game. Although they did beat my Furman Paladins handily, but shy. Mixed feelings about that. Hey, let me tell you, like, what's up with this bucket, right? So yesterday, my daughter Allie down here, the 9-year-old, she is a cheerleader, okay? And so I got to go and watch her cheer, okay? Yesterday for how many hours? 2 or 3 hours? In the sweltering sun. It was amazing. And I got to be a cheer dad extraordinaire yesterday. Do you guys know what that is? That means she's a cheerleader, I'm the dad, okay? And that means I bring stuff to give all of her teammates, okay? So at halftime, I got to show up with a cooler full of Gatorade, and I brought this, and it might as well have been gold in here, because this was full of freshly popped, air-popped popcorn with more butter and salt on it than you know what to do with. And it was amazing, okay? And listen, the kid, we brought styrofoam cups, and the girls were just like, this is so good. They were getting like seconds and thirds, and it was so fun for us because I was able to bring this with the popcorn, and there was more than enough. Can everybody just say more than enough? Don't you love it when there's more than enough? I love the feeling when you're prepared for a party and you know you've got more than enough. You know, we got to hang out with some friends yesterday, and our host looked at us and says, "I may have gotten more chicken fingers than we needed." And she says, "But there's this, you know," she grew up in a Jewish family. She says, "There's this little Jewish mommy inside of me that just says no one will go hungry." And I was very grateful for that little Jewish mama, because we had plenty. And it was such a fantastic day that we got to spend with them. So listen, what's your favorite holiday? Christmas, right? Christmas is great. Why is Christmas great? Maybe because you get to give a bunch of presents. Is that right? So one of our favorite, I think Christmas is also, you know, my favorite holiday. But on our street, you know, we've just been in a series called Home. Right? And how good has that been? Can we just give it up for Pastor Naeem? And man, it's been so good, and it's been just so reassuring for me to just be like, you know what? I get to invite my friends and neighbors and just say, hey, you know, you've been to my home. You've come and eaten dinner at my house, but I would love to show you kind of my spiritual home. And I just love that whenever I am able to bring anybody, I am so proud to introduce them to you guys. I love the fact that we're diverse, because I think a diverse thing is a strong thing. And I love that there is so much love. There is palpable love in the room. And that fits, right? Because Paul actually said, this is how the world will know that you're my disciples, that you love one another. And I love that. I love that this place feels like home. But let me tell you something about my home and a little bit about one of our other favorite holidays, and that is the 4th of July. All right? Does anybody else love July 4th? All right. Well, I'm just going to say, if you think your street can come up, you know, and compare to my street, then let's talk at the white tent after service, okay? But let me tell you what goes down at Abercorn, all right? We go all out, okay? So I want you to picture this. So in front of my house, we're bringing out two of these tubs. We're popping popcorn all day long. In front of that, in the street, is a 40-foot blow-up water slide that the kids are sliding on, and then they splash in a pool at the end. On my neighbor's over here, they've got cotton candy and snow cones. In the other neighbor, they're from South Africa, so they've got, you know, I'll mess it up with the accent, but they always do like a braai. They don't call it a barbecue, you know, and so that's awesome. And there is just everybody sharing with everybody. We turned into communists on July 4th. I don't know what's up with that, but it's awesome. And we're always sharing, and there is more than enough. And then the sun starts to go down, and it's about to be on, y'all. I'm talking about there's 5 men who plan all year long. There's at least 5 or 6 of them. They're coming with wheelbarrows, coming down the hill like it is. I mean, they are on a mission. And they come down with literally thousands of dollars of partially, which, what am I doing? I'm covering it up. With illegal, maybe. we'll just say South Carolina bought mortars, okay? So everybody makes the rush to Carowinds, you know, area to get it. And let me tell you, I almost called my buddy this morning to see if I could borrow it and show it to you guys. One of the guys built a 50-mortar launcher and tied them all together, and that was the grand finale this year. It was unbelievable. I don't know how much money we literally blew up this year, but it was awesome. I mean, it went on for over an hour, you know, and man, I love that. It was more than enough. It was more than enough. But, and girls, I know you're going to be, this is probably going to disappoint you, but I have a confession to make. You see, that day on July 4th, when I was going to the Harris Teeter to get some popcorn because we were going to be super generous, I had a moment where I was not. You see, I saw my downfall, and it was in the Kettle brand of barbecue potato chips. And so I swiped the card, and I paid for those, and I did not share a single chip with anyone. has anybody ever had that moment? You know, we got, I mean, you know, house full, right? And I share everything, right? So I deserve to have this. Y'all, it was so sad. So sad. I bought, I mean, this stuff, you know what I'm talking about. Like, I don't know if that's your thing, but do you have a thing? Do you have like a treat, you know, like a guilty thing? And it's like that you have a, does anybody, can we just be honest? We try to be vulnerable here at Mosaic Church. If you have a secret stash of candy, of stuff, listen, I know some of y'all that are married, you're about to tell on yourself, but listen, it's all okay. Can we just lift our hand? Does anybody have a secret stash in the place? All right, let's give everybody up that's honest. That was awesome. Listen, I had a secret stash. I created it on July 4th. I got my Kettle barbecue chips, and I'm like, this is going to be so good. And so I put it in this, like, cabinet in my garage, right? And I'm like, I'm going to share everything, but I'm going to hide it behind, like, my old baseball equipment. No one will ever know it's there. And so... But the problem was I was so full, it was so full of so many other people and things in the house that I didn't even get to eat a single chip the whole 4th of July. But please believe, I snuck in there. I made like 10 trips, and I felt like I was sneaking in there, making sure like the kids weren't coming, because I know if they're going to come up, they're going to look at me, and you know what they're going to say to me? They're like, Daddy, what is that? And I'm going to be like, nothing. You know, I might have to lie, or I won't do that, girls. But I would have to share, okay? And the reason I would have to share is because we have brainwashed our kids their entire lives of the number one law in the universe, at least in the Berry family. And it's this right here. Berries share. That's right. That's right. Can we give it up for Caroline? That's right. Listen, berries share. Berries share. I said it so much that somebody at the church that we used to pastor burned a sign like and wrote berries share on it. And they created their own thing. It was like berries share, and last name was Creedle, and it was like, and Creedle's care. And so it was so cool. But berries share. And so we have literally just indoctrinated them with like, okay, Caroline, you don't want to share your toy with Kate? Well, what's your last name? And she's like, Berry. And then it's like, and what do berries do? Share. Well, sometimes they actually get it. And they realize, wait, this thing is actually a pretty good rule to live by. And to have a family where everybody shares. And so that's right, Dad. Berries share. Okay, I'll give this to you. And so they do. So, boom. We're winning at parenting, all right? And listen, just kind of as a caveat, some of you guys might have even seen some of the Facebook videos that my wife and I, we've got some, there's, if you want to see some of the crazy failing forward ideas that Nicole and I have been experimenting with in marriage, in parenting, and in trying to live out our purpose, we posted, I think, 25 videos and some other resources on YouTube and on our website, which is actually called Berry Share, all right? So you can check that out. If you need the link, I'll give it to you later. But berries share. It's all about sharing, unless it's barbecue kettle potato chips. You know, and we have, I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like I'm two different people. I feel like there's two different sides to me. It's like there's a part of me that really does love and celebrate the fact that there is more than enough. There is more than enough in life. But then there's this other like competing voice. Can you guys relate to this? It says, there's never going to be enough. You're never going to have enough. So you need to spend it on yourself before anybody else can ask for it. Or you're never going to have enough, so you just need to hoard it all to yourself so that when the bad day comes, you'll have something when everybody else has nothing. Or, even deeper still, you'll never be enough. And so if you grew up like most of us did, in a home where love was not unconditional, where there were moments where you had to earn love and there was conditional love, then there can be a tendency to where you listen to the lie that says you'll never be enough. Therefore, you've got to perform in order to be accepted. And so there's this other mentality. There is a more than enough mentality, but then there's this other one that says never enough. And I don't know about you, but right now, I am hearing the soundtrack of The Greatest Showman. And I will spare you of trying to sing what that lady, man, can that lady sing or what? You know, never enough. I mean, just like I said, I was going to spare you. But, it's, you know, but what do we do here? What is going on here? Let's open up the scriptures and see what Jesus says about it. In Luke chapter 11, verse 34, Jesus is talking about there's basically two ways to look at the world, okay? And he's going to unpack it and put it in these terms, all right? Let's read it together. Your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. And when your eye is healthy, everybody say healthy, your whole body is filled with light. Man, that sounds good. But when it is unhealthy, everybody say unhealthy, your body is filled with darkness. So what Jesus here, this is, you know, if you've got one of those old school Bibles where the words of Jesus are written in red, this is written in red. Okay, this is the words of Jesus. And he says, there's basically two ways of thinking about and approaching the world. There's two ways of, you know, think of, it's an eye. So there's two ways of perceiving your reality. You follow me? So the first way, if your eye is good or healthy, then your life will be full of light. Man, that sounds good, right? But if your eye is unhealthy, then your life will be full of darkness. And I don't know about you, but I feel like I got one of each eye. And there's all of this stuff about this good eye and this evil eye, okay? Now, I'm going to time out and do a little commercial, okay? I'm really tempted right now to, like, go and tell you, like, the Greek words of what good and evil and all of that means. And I would probably, it might be interesting to a percentage of you guys, but the rest of you might tune out. And so I'm not going to do that. Why am I mentioning that right now? It's because we've actually got something coming up this fall that's going to be brand new at Mosaic Church. And that's on Wednesday nights. Like I said, I've been transitioning away from being a next generation pastor, but I am now going to be taken as a teaching pastor, and my primary role will be teaching on Wednesday nights. And so this is a third option for you as an element of community. And so we have small groups, and you can get an awesome, apply this to your life, conversations in small groups, which meet all over the city of Charlotte. And we're excited about rolling those out next Sunday, okay? You can get in a missional community, which is kind of a mid-sized group that also does some service stuff. Or you can do this new thing, which is something that I'm going to be kind of at the helm of, called table groups. And so that's going to be right here at the Hope Center from like 7 to 8:30, and we are going to meet, and there's going to be a little bit deeper teaching for about 20 minutes, and then we'll have about an hour of conversation to maybe get a little nerdy, all right? But at the end of the day, figure out, okay, what does this look like to actually live out the message and the movement of Jesus, okay? How can I actually live this out 9 to 5? You know, how at my work, how can I live this out at 4 a.m. when my baby just woke me up and I do not feel like I have the Holy Spirit? Okay, what does it look like to live out the gospel? Okay, so commercial is over, all right? That was table groups, just to kind of bring an FYI, shameless plug. If that sounds like an option for you, then would love to see you out. Childcare is provided, by the way. Just saying. So where are we back at? We've got two options. There is the good eye or the more than enough mentality, or there is the evil eye, which is the never enough mentality. Okay? Now, how can we get to a place? And this has kind of been my prayer, like, God, like, I don't want to live out of this never enough. I want to live. I want to be generous. I want to share all the time. I don't want to fall prey to the kettle chip voice. I want to be free, and I want to share. And so, God, can you help me out? And listen, in Luke chapter 16, Jesus tells what might be the weirdest parable ever, okay? And we're going to try together to understand that in order to help us move more in this direction and less in that direction, all right? Can we go on a journey together? All right, this is a weird parable, okay? Here we go. We're going to read it. Luke 16, 1 through 9. All right, Jesus told this story to his disciples. There was a certain rich man who had a manager handling his affairs. One day, a report came that the manager was wasting his employer's money. All right? So the employer called him in and said, "What's this I hear about you? Get your report in order because you are going to be fired." Okay? Now, do you notice you are going to be fired? All right, so picture this. Let's say you're the manager, and let's say this is a guy that doesn't know Jesus. His character is kind of rotten, all right? And he's basically like, "Hey, you're getting a pink slip in 2 weeks. Just heads up." So brother man starts like, "All right, let's see what I can do." The manager thought to himself, "Now what? My boss has fired me, and I don't have the strength to dig ditches. And I'm too proud to beg." This guy's a real winner. I know how to ensure that I'll have plenty of friends who will give me a home when I'm fired. So he invited each person who owed money to his boss man to come and discuss the situation. He's like, "Listen, I still have some authority here. I'm gonna see what I can do with this position I still have." So here's what he does. He asked the first one, "How much do you owe my boss man?" And the man replies, "I owe him 800 gallons of olive oil." That's a lot of oil. So the manager told him, "Hey, take the bill and quickly change it to 400 gallons. Wink, wink, I'm giving you a 50% off discount." All right? Next one comes in and he says, "How much do you owe my employer?" He asked the next man. "I owe him 1,000 bushels of wheat," was the reply. And the manager's like, "All right, I'm going to give him the hookup too, right? Here, take the bill and change it to 800 bushels. All right. And I don't know why the first one got 50% off and the second one got 20% off. That sounds like favoritism and couponing. I'm not sure. But here's verse 8. The rich man... Now, here's the next scene, okay? He's kind of canceled 50% of one of the guy's debts and canceled 20% of the other guy's debts, which is a huge favor, especially for that amount of money. And then the boss comes in after he realizes what he's done, and he says, "All right, touche." The rich man had to admire the dishonest rascal for being so shrewd. Now, let me just time out. Am I telling you to be like this dishonest rascal? Okay, no, I'm not telling you to do that. In fact, later on, right below this, Jesus says, you know, if you're faithful in little, you'll be entrusted with much. If you're dishonest in a little, if you start stealing, you know, paper clips from your employer, you're probably going to steal more than that. And so he is not advocating dishonesty and stealing and cutting deals with people behind your boss's back. All right, we all clear? All right. But there is something else that's a little bit deeper going on. All right? And he says, so the rich man kind of says, "Hey man, like, that was smart. Wasn't honest, but that was smart. You were taking care of your tail, because you knew I was going to put you out on the street in 2 weeks. And so it says, so kind of to understand that, it says, and it's true that the children of this world are more shrewd in dealing with the world around them than are the children of light. And here's the lesson. Use your worldly resources. Everybody say money. Okay. Everybody say authority. Everybody say resources. Okay. Use your stuff to benefit others and make friends. Then, when your possessions are gone, they, the friends that you made, because you were generous with your stuff and your authority and your resources, they will welcome you to an, notice the second to last word, eternal home. All right, so what in the world is this confusing parable all about? Well, I think you have to look at the context here. Okay, because Jesus is in the middle of this whole discourse where he is talking, and the Pharisees are asking him questions, and they were the religious leaders, and they were mad at him because he was hanging out with people that they felt like someone of his stature shouldn't waste his time on. And they were like, you know, why are you eating with sinners, and why are you hanging out with those type of people? When you could come and have a feast with the elite, like us. And he answers them, and so right before he tells this weird parable, he tells three parables. And some of you guys know will recognize these. He tells the parable of the lost sheep. Remember how he leaves the 99 and goes after the one, right? And then he says the parable of the lost coin, where the lady can't find her coin, and she's got 9 of them still in her pocket, but she goes, she searches everywhere to find the coin, and then she throws a party with her friends once she finds it. And the last story is the parable of the lost son, or the parable of the prodigal son, where, and you guys know that story where the youngest son asks for his inheritance and then goes and squanders it, and then doesn't really understand the character of his dad, and then ends up thinking, well, I'd rather be a servant in my dad's house than to be sitting in the pig slop with what I'm doing now. And so I'm going to head back. And what happens? You guys remember? The father runs out and with reckless love embraces him. And this is the context right before Jesus tells this parable. And so what is going on? What is going on here? This is what I believe we should extract here. It's what Jesus is saying is that this dishonest rascal in the parable, okay, don't be like him, but recognize that he got something. He recognizes a truth that a lot of God followers miss out on. And it's this. He had eyes on the future. He could see what was coming. And he's like, I'm going to prepare now for what's coming. And Jesus is basically saying, how you can prepare now for what's coming is to do this. Because let me ask you this. For every single one of us, everybody under the sound of my voice, everybody who will watch this on YouTube, for every single one of us, what is coming? I can tell you what's coming. Eternity. Because there's going to be one day where we're going to shed this flesh and blood. And we are going to be absent from the body. We're going to be present with the Lord. And in that day, I'm telling you, the brand name of whatever you're wearing, and I'm not hating, okay, but it's not going to matter. But what will matter is this. Did you use stuff, your resources, your authority to share with some souls and show them love in such a way that it will matter for the rest of eternity? You see, because when you invite a fellow believer over for dinner, and you practice hospitality and you honor them by preparing a place for them and cooking their favorite dessert, and when you love your kids and when you love your spouse, guess what you're doing? You are using your stuff, your worldly resources, to do something that matters for eternity, because love will last forever. See, in the book of Revelation, the last book in the scriptures, it talks about how one day it's all going to end and the books are going to be opened. And what you did that was good, that was out of a good motive, that was from love, everything that you did that flowed in love is going to last for eternity. That it's going to be, it's going to pass the test of the fire. When the things that you did selfishly are gonna burn away like the chaff, but what you did out of pure love is gonna last forever. Guys, that's what our lives are about. We have but a breath. We have 70, 120 years max, maybe. I don't know how many years we've got on this earth, but they're numbered. And what matters to us is, can we use what is temporary to affect what is eternal? Or the converse is true, because let me tell you the sad truth is that if you can grasp this, if you can do like the dishonest rascal did and have a view of the future, but do it in a way that pleases God, if you can do that, if you can live with a more than enough mentality, then you will start to view how you spend your money completely differently. You will view it completely differently. When you spend, you'll realize, man, I'm not just selfishly taking care of my needs. No, when you're spending, you're sharing. You're sharing with your spouse. You're sharing. Heck, it's okay to love yourself, all right? Can everybody just say, I love myself? All right? Did you know that's okay? Let me just, side note. The degree to which you love yourself will limit the degree to which you are capable of loving your neighbor. Because think about it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So if any of you, besides me, have struggled with self-contempt and self-love, I'm just telling you, like, that's a religious construct. God actually wants you to love yourself and to treat yourself well. And occasionally, that might mean barbecue kettle chips. Okay? Just saying. But I need to do it with a more than enough mentality, a willingness to share, not the way that I did in the garage, okay? Can we have this more than enough mentality? Can we flow generously? Can we let the spring of life and love from the Holy Spirit, who lives and reigns in our hearts, can we let that love flow out to others by sharing our resources? You know, and it can look different on different levels. And it does say, right after this, same chapter, it says, he who's faithful in little will be entrusted with much. You know, and sometimes we're sitting here like, God, like, it would be nice to have some much. And sometimes he's saying, are you being faithful with what I have given you? Are you proving to me that you do actually are getting in alignment with this more than enough mentality by sharing what you do have? I'll give you an example. I was on staff at a church for 10 years, and the Lord just led us to transition out, and they were just really gracious and kind of celebrated us out. And one of the guys who came to the, my memory's failing me, whether he was actually at a party or he sent like a video or something, but I remember told me that the one thing that stood out to him in all the years of ministry together was when he was a summer intern for our outreach ministry, and I was overseeing what we called SWAT trucks, all right? These were like sidewalk action teams, all right? And I don't know if you've ever heard of this, but it's basically like you take a Penske truck and then cut a side out of it, and then it folds down and becomes a stage, and then you've basically got church on wheels, Okay, and so we would go and we would do like Sunday school on steroids and giving candy and sharing the good news of Jesus with kids all over the inner city. And we had so much fun and we sweated so much because there was no air conditioning in our SWAT truck. And this guy was, of all the things he could remember, when he was retelling the thing that stuck out to him about me, he says, I will never forget that summer. It was my first summer in ministry when I was a SWAT intern, and I will remember Brandon Berry's lunches. I was like, what? My lunches? And he said, they were huge. And then it started to come back to me. So I was a big football player at that point. I weighed 230-something pounds, and so I could eat. But the size of my lunch was not just for me, because I had this huge red, satchel of a lunchbox. And in that lunchbox, I put a whole loaf of bread, a whole thing of Jif peanut butter. Come on now, Jif is better, I'm just saying. And some strawberry preserves, right? Because you know what's about to happen. It's PBJ up in this place. So I'm driving, and this, we were probably illegal. There was three of them. So there's four of us in the cab of this truck. And it's like assembly line. I'm like, okay, so you get the bread out, you do the peanut butter, you do the jelly, and then we'll all eat while we're on the road doing this. And we did that two or three times a week. And I would just bring the peanut butter and jelly. And you know what? I just laughed about that. I was just like, of all the things, me and you have been hanging out doing ministry for 10 years, and the only thing you can think to tell, you know, this group of people and me is that what mattered to you was the fact that Brandon Berry, when you were 16 years old, gave you a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Let me say, if you're faithful in little, he'll entrust you with much. I'm telling you, I would love any of y'all that ever have the opportunity to come over to my house. I'm going to just tell you, point at anything in our house, and I'll tell you the story. Because I'm telling you, you know, we try to live this. We try to live this. I don't always do it. I have, you know, kettle chip moments. But listen, we try to live this way. We try to live in such a way as to where we can save, because spending is now sharing. Therefore, saving is now preparing to share. And so we want to keep some stuff in a little nest egg so that when someone comes that has it, so that we're like, all right, this is an opportunity to flow love. All right, now everybody I know is going to be like Kim Honeycutt was in the first service and come ask me for $20 after the service, but we'll see. I love her. She told me to give her a hard time about that. She was like, I'm going to put you to the test. Where's my $20? So, you know, I'll have to hook her up later. I don't have any cash on me. She's like, I got Square. I'll take a debit. Anyway, where was I? That's right. So spending is sharing, right? Okay, everybody say share. Saving is preparing. Everybody say prepare. So you've got to be prepared in order to share. And so for us, we live in our house 5 years. Everything on our back patio has been a hand-me-down for the past 5 years. And we just bought some patio furniture. And I am so pumped because now we've got some nice stuff, not just some re-spray painted hand-me-downs from our neighbors to actually let somebody sit on, right? And I am excited because the stuff that we now have as a son or a daughter of God, in this temporary life, the stuff we have is not ours. If you're really following Jesus, then it's not yours. It's his. And so any stuff that he brings you, it's for you to steward, to use, to love other people who are going to last for eternity. That's a radically different way of looking at the life, at your life. It's a radically different way of looking at money. But I am telling you that it is the way to life and abundance and fulfillment. It is the pathway to peace. It is the way. And I'm telling you, like, it will shape everything that you do. when you give a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, when you say yes to the kid who wants a drink of water, when he lives right across the street and he could get a drink of water out of his own thing. But you could share with him. You could love. That's an example of, that happens all the time in our house. You can prepare to share. You know, we've gotten to enjoy some days on the lake. Woo-woo! Right? This summer. Guess what? We don't own a boat. Do you know what's happening? Is somebody is investing in eternity, and I thank you for investing in my eternity, by the way, by making friends with me, by being generous and inviting us to go out on the lake. Let me tell you, I didn't think, you know, I had a poverty mentality in terms of, like, I used to think you need to just never spend money on yourself, that's evil, and I had this kind of religious mentality, kind of like Judas did. You remember when Mary poured out the really, really expensive oil and he did something extravagantly loving for Jesus? You remember that? What did Judas say? We could have sold that and used that for the poor. And I'm telling you, what Judas said was very logical, right? But love sometimes defies logic. When I asked my wife to marry me, I was not trying to be logical. I was trying to be extravagant. I was trying to create a memory that we could tell our grandkids. And we'll tell you that story some other time. But love is not always logical. Love flows. And so the question is, can we receive love from Abba Father, from our Heavenly Father? And can that flow to us and through us to love other eternal souls? You see, and I'm gonna close with this. The last couple of weeks, I've been kind of thinking about. I read a book by C.S. Lewis. Anybody ever read any C.S. Lewis? I mean, just man, that guy. He got some deep roots. And he had this sermon called The Weight of Glory that they put in book form. And that has been messing me up. What it basically says is this, is that, guys, you were made for glory. You were made to live eternally. And get this, you will outlive the universe. Think about it. Heaven and earth will pass away. But you will have everlasting life. And I don't know how all of that stuff is going to happen in the thousands and millions of years that we all are going to get to live after we pass from these bodies that we're carrying around right now. But I'm telling you, it's going to be glorious. Here's what's really been messing me up. Is there are some people that really get on my nerves. You know what I'm going with this? There are some people that are just like extra grace required, okay? Okay? God usually puts at least one of them in every small group, okay? Just saying. Okay? So don't leave your small group just because they're there. They're actually there to help you, to be spiritual sandpaper for you. Because that extra grace required person is glorious, is going to live for eternity. That person that gets under your ever-living last nerve is as eternal as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in that direction. Now, what separates us from God is that God is not a ray that has a starting point and no ending point, but God is a line because he is from everlasting to everlasting. But that person that gets on your nerves is glorious. And C.S. Lewis says it might be possible for you to think too much about your own glory because you could have the temptation of getting a little puffed up. He says, but I don't think it's possible to think too much about how glorious your spouse is. Your neighbor is. Can you just look at the person beside you and say, you're glorious? Doesn't that feel good? Y'all, there's a different way. And that's where the whole thing, I mean, the mission of Mosaic Church is to reclaim the message and the movement of Jesus. And it's not to live by all this legalism and religion, but it's to free us to live more than enough lives where love flows. And we use all of our stuff, all of our authority, all of our resources, all of our money to invest in people who are eternal. If you're going to write something down, write this down, okay? If your baseline is fear, okay, and this is the never enough mentality. If your baseline is fear, then you will use people to affect things. You will use what is eternal to affect what is temporary. On the contrary, if your baseline is trust, then you will use what is temporary to affect what is eternal. You will use money, things, resources to love people who will live forever. And maybe, just maybe, if they don't yet know the God that you know, maybe they'll want to because of how you affected their lives. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for who you are. God, you're so good to us. You're so good to us. God, thank you for not being logical. Thank you for lavishly loving us by sending your one and only Son, Jesus, to pay a price we could never pay on a cross that we deserved. God, thank you for loving us recklessly. And in doing so, thank you for paving a way for us to live lives like you, empowered by your Holy Spirit. God, would you make us more like you? Would you captivate us by your love? God, as we respond today, as we put prayer requests on the cross, as we light a candle, as we take communion, we remember you. God, may we do so remembering why you gave your life for us. And God, fill our hearts with grace for every glorious soul that we encounter. Help us, Lord, to use what's temporary to invest in what's eternal. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Mosaic Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more audio and video content, visit us at mosaicchurch.tv.